a little bit of the history of revival in this country. Tonight I'd like to preach on why we need revival. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why do we need revival? There's a distortion of the human mind that's going on in our days. When I say the distortion of the mind, I'm talking about just the way people think. Things that make sense to most people nowadays are absolutely bizarre. Can I prove that to you? Okay? The way people think. I'm talking about in America as a whole. The way people think is bizarre. Proof?
Man.
The presidential election.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the best two candidates we can find.
Right.
Now that is bizarre.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And the country's excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, we need revival.
Yes, sir.
When that's the way most people think, we're in a mess.
Yep.
We're in trouble. Their minds are distorted about how the country ought to be run, who ought to be elected, how we ought to help those who won't get up and go to work. It's a distortion of the mind. Your thinking is all messed up when you're trying to figure out a way to get something for nothing. It's messed up.
Yeah.
Why do we need revival? Because we have so many people who think that way. If they did get saved, they'd be useless in the church. They would expect the church to take care of them. Mm-hmm. That's a twisted mind. There's also a decline in morals. Why do we need revival? Immorality's on the rise. Purity is mocked and scoffed at. The young ladies who do their best to remain pure, and the young men are ridiculed as if they're doing something ridiculous. And it is commonly accepted in our country now that there's something wrong with you if you even have a desire to remain pure.
Yeah.
Let me say something to you boys and girls. Purity is still a good thing.
Amen.
Purity is still right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Purity is still scripture.
Amen.
But we need revival because our country no longer has any concern for purity. The decline of morals are not only revealed in the lack of purity, but the decline of morals is also revealed perversion of morals.
Amen.
We live in a time of gross perversion.
Sir.
Yeah.
Anything goes.
Amen.
That's the time we live in. Why? If we did have a revival, the demons of hell would start coming out of the woodwork because of the way people have accepted not only immorality but perversion
in
their lives. When revival comes, people start seeing their sins as exceeding sinful and mourning over their sinful condition. And the church would be a place of weeping and wailing and mourning if people saw themselves as they really are, with declining morals, immorality, and perversion. Not only that, but we need revival because so many have departed from even the basic standards of Christianity, that they all know what the Bible says, but have drifted so far from what the Bible says, there's very little heart for getting it right. Example, you need revival when your brother falls into sin, or your sister.
Yes.
And you rejoice about it. When you're happy about it, when somebody gets into sin that you go to church with, you're messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're messed up in your heart. You're messed up in your mind. You are just messed up. When you attend church with somebody, or maybe it's somebody in another church somewhere else, and you hear about it, and somehow you're glad because you never liked them anyway. We need revival when that happens. It ought to break our hearts every time that somebody falls into sin, gets away from God, drifts off out in the far country, lives in the hog pen. It ought to break our hearts. We've seen it happen many times over the years, even in this church. People get in, they're doing great, they're learning, they're growing. You never usually know what really happened. Something happened, they drifted off, they got into trouble, they got into sin, they lost all interest in the church and the Bible and preaching and the singing of the hymns, they lost all interest in those things, and the next thing you know, they're drinking, they're on drugs, they're divorcing, remarrying, trying to figure out how to handle children. It is absolute chaos when people get away from the church and get away from God, and brings trouble and heartache and difficulty for the rest of their lives. We need revival. When the world creeps in on you, and you now look like the world, talk like the world, think like the world, live like the world, act like the world, and prefer the world to God's people. You ought to have a special bond with God's children.
Amen.
They ought to be your best friends.
Yeah.
They ought to be your favorite co-workers. They ought to be somebody you count it a privilege and a blessing to go to church with. Those, amen, who have decided this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm telling you, we need revival when the world creeps in on you, and it creeps in just a little at a time. There'll be no big deal, and the next thing will be no big deal, and the next thing will be no big deal, and the next thing will be no big deal, and 10 years later, and 15 years later, and 20 years later, it'll be a big deal.
Yeah.
Because the world keeps getting stronger, and the world keeps pulling harder, and the world keeps messing with your head about what's not acceptable. The world creeps in on you, and separation is no longer an issue that matters. Separation becomes something that drives people away from the church. I'm telling you, people, that separation drives away from the church are the people who don't love God and don't love the Bible and don't love the truth and don't love living right. That's who drives away from the church.
Yeah.
You need revival. And separation no longer matters to you.
Amen, preacher.
You need revival when your besetting sin has come back.
Yeah.
Besetting sin is that sin you struggle with your entire life. Anything come to your mind when I say that? Supposed to. Holy Ghost is supposed to go with whatever your besetting sin is.
Yeah.
What's yours? I tell you what, we need revival. You got the victory over your besetting sin temporarily. But it's back. That's why it's your besetting sin.
Yeah.
About the time you think you got the victory over it, amen, and you're just rolling right along rejoicing and praising the Lord, the devil sets a trap for you and he snares you in your besetting sin, and there you go. You have done it again. Thinking you had the victory and you threw that one and you would never have that problem again. That's why we've got to have revival. Regular church services are good to help control it, but you need revival to get that thing out.
Yeah.
Deal with it in the power of God. How do we know when we need revival? When you spend more time criticizing your brother and sister than you do praying for them.
Right, preacher.
Tell somebody else what they did to you and what they said to you and how they're treating you and criticizing them for not doing it the way you think they ought to do it. I say you need revival when you're critical of others. Brother Alan Jones says to be critical is to be carnal.
Yep.
You're expressing yourself and your flesh when you're critical of others, because most of the time you don't know all the details. Did you know you meet people sometimes and their life is sort of simple because they have control of everything? I know there's got to be some people that way, because the least little thing just drives them crazy. Some of y'all know people like that. You're married to them. They want everything to be perfect. It's not going to happen.
Amen.
Hey, man, when are you going to learn to just kind of roll with it?
Yeah.
This, all these imperfections you're surrounded with? You don't have to learn how to roll with it. Amen. Survive it. Move on. Don't let it rob your joy. Don't let it steal your peace.
Yeah.
Don't let it get you down. Amen. Yeah. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your neighbor, they're not perfect.
Right.
And would you believe they don't even want to be like you?
Yeah.
With all your perfection? Amen. If I had a choice between a perfect neighbor and an imperfect neighbor, I think I'd take the imperfect neighbor.
Yeah.
That perfect one would always want to know why I did this and why I didn't do that. I've had one of those before. Why are your boys shooting their arrows in the 9 yards? Because they missed the target. He wanted my kids to be perfect shots with a bow and arrow. I had a neighbor, their arrow got over there, he'd walk out there. I think he must have been sitting upstairs looking out the window, watching them shoot their bows. Arrow ever got in his yard, he'd come down out of the house, go out in the yard, pick their arrows up, break them over his knee, and throw them back on the field. You never had a perfect neighbor. Anybody else ever had a neighbor like that? Yeah. Or are you that neighbor?
Yeah.
I tell you why we need revival nowadays, because we are rebellious to the will of God.
Right.
God will reveal to you what he wants you to stop doing, what he wants you to start doing, and you'll come up with all the reasons why that's not necessary.
Yep.
And all the time, God's wanting to revive you again, encourage you, and strengthen you, and help you, and you're resisting in his will. Why do we need revival? Spiritual laziness. What is the blessing? Want to go, everybody standing up, went down to the zoo today. What a testimony. Do you suppose anybody was down there and he goes down there on a regular basis and they look out there and say, wow, what are all these people doing here? That'll get people's attention when it's a big crowd.
Yeah.
There's a little church there in Tomahawk. Used to be when we were driving home from church, they would always be out there at Four Corners in Tomahawk, which is where 249, 2920 intersect there in Tomball. And they'd be out there standing in the street in the hot sun still singing when we would get home or get to that point at 12:45, 1 o'clock, 1:15 by the time we get there. They still out there just sweating and singing. You know what? I watched their churches grow, grow, grow. Apparently I wasn't the only one that saw them out there. I have to look forward to just driving by there. I roll the windows down when I get there, try to figure out what they were singing, but I've never heard any of their songs. So I don't know what they were singing. I guess love Jesus or something. Spiritual laziness reveals that we need to have a Bible. We're in perilous times where people are basically undisciplined when it comes to even the basics of walking with God, like reading the Bible and praying and witnessing and fellowship. When I was in the Navigators, when I was at Texas A&M, the Navigators had a little drawing of a wheel and it had four spokes in it, and they said this is how you keep your Christian life balanced. And those were the four things they said you had to maintain, keep your life balanced. You had to get the Word of God, and you had to pray, and you had to tell somebody else what God had done for you, and you had to fellowship with somebody else that was saved so you could encourage each other when you got discouraged.
Man.
And if you do all four of those, you'd be a balanced Christian. You leave any one of those out. You leave your Bible out, unbalanced. Leave praying out, unbalanced. No matter how much you read your Bible, you leave praying out, unbalanced. If you never tell anybody what God's done for you, amen, you're wobbling on the axle. You're out of balance. Spiritual laziness. Why do we need revival? Because there's too much jealousy. We're always thinking somebody else has something we don't have and we deserve it and they don't. Jealousy. Well, why is God blessing them? And why doesn't God bless me? Why is my life all messed up? And everything's just fine. Well, number one, you might not have an accurate view of how things are in everybody else's life. They may just be smiling and shouting the victory while their heart's breaking.
Yeah.
Just because they look happy all the time doesn't mean they don't have problems. They may have just risen above their circumstances and above their problems and determined by the grace of God, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, amen. I tell you, those folks that are singing and smiling and happy, they're still going through some heartaches in this life. Then there are those when you ask them how they're doing, boy, are they ever going to tell you. Well, I wrecked a car, and my dog died, and my mother-in-law moved in. they don't get it right, they're going to do it again next month. Because that's what they did last year. They just go on and on and on with them haters of all. Why do we need revival? Because of strife in the family. You know, if you get revived, you'd probably appreciate your family more. I'm talking about spiritual revival. Get revived. Get on fire for God. And you'd be so thrilled with God, you'd quit worrying about all these problems that's going on in your family. The reason that you have so many problems in your family is you have too much time to think about it. And talk about it.
Yep.
And fret over it. Every family has problems. But when you start striving one against the other instead of pulling together, all of your problems are going to intensify and magnify. Quit working against each other. Did you know that the strength of the home is when a man and a woman just get together, pull together, amen, have some harmony and unity instead of constantly pulling against each other? It gets to be a way of life. It gets to be a way of life. I know people like that. One of them can say, wasn't that a beautiful full moon last night? Well, no, actually, that wasn't a full moon. You know, there's one. Who cares? They're trying to have a pleasant conversation, and you're going to argue the point like that matters. Strife. Strife. You couldn't please some people if you hung them with a new rope. That's a country saying, but it's probably a real old one. They say, well, that's new. That's taping my neck. I don't like that. Do you have a softer rope you can hang it with? Strike. Right. Arguing over stuff that does not even matter. If you're here tonight and you do that, would you please stop it?
Man.
Stop it! Quit arguing over all this stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, I'm right. That's the problem. Quit being so right all the time. Strive. You need revival in the church when you have strife in the home. You need revival in the church when you have strife in the church. They're going to sit over there. I'm sitting over here. If they're going to sit in the middle, I'm going to get in the front so I don't have to see them. If they're going to sit in the front, I'm going to start wearing sunglasses. Strife in the church. You need revival in the church when preaching no longer stirs your heart. It's just another boring sermon.
Yeah.
Right.
How long is this going to last? When is it going to be over? I have things I need to do. Places I don't want to go. People I don't want to see. I'm telling you, you need revival in your heart when going to church is just one of your boring activities.
Right.
I remember sitting on the front row like these guys are sitting down here. After I got saved, pen in my hand, notebook in my lap, writing down everything I had the time to write down.
Sir.
Many of those outlines I've probably never even read back over, but I'll tell you, some of them through the years have been such a help, such a blessing. You never know when a guy starts which one's going to be a help to him. Get as much as you can while you can. You never know when you're going to need. used to. You know, the way the world talks nowadays bothers me.
Yes, sir.
You know one of the things that bothers me about it? The worse it gets and the more they do it, the more I catch myself thinking of those words that I would never say, but it pops into my mind because they say it all the time.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you that. That's true. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It becomes a battle not to say it because you're hearing it all the time. You know, you need revival when sin no longer bothers you. You know, we need revival when this moral perversion that is pervading our nation nowadays is generally accepted. Not most people. That's no big deal. You know, you need revival when you have forgotten where God found you, when you were lost and in sin and on your way to hell, when you have forgotten that and you take it for granted that, okay, I'm saved now, glory to God, hallelujah, wait, where did he find you? What condition were you in when God found you and saved you and washed you and forgave you? Oh, we need a revival. Revival begins to our people that rejoice in me, but we're in perilous times.
Yeah.
Where everything's okay. You know you need revival when you have an unforgiving spirit. Somebody wants to get right with you, but they can't. Because you're holding a grudge. You're never going to forgive them for what they did to you. You better be glad God's not that way.
Man.
Did you know having that unforgiving spirit is the spirit of the Antichrist? Jesus is nailed to a cross. And he's praying for those that nailed him to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the spirit of Christ. The spirit of the Antichrist is, I'm never going to forgive them for what they did to me. Well, you know what? They've already moved on. They're not even thinking about it. You're the only ones being eat up with it. You all let those grudges go. Quit holding on to them.
Yep.
What it is, I think, is that this grudge becomes somebody's personal pet. They get in a bad mood, they pull this grudge out, and they pet this grudge. So their hatred can grow. And they think about this person they can't stand. They're in love with destroying themselves. You need revival when you get like that. Many other reasons why we need a revival, but let's talk about just briefly about the road to revival. To get the revival from here, did you know it will cost you something?
Yep.
Yeah.
Revival is not on the clearance table. Revival is not on the sale rack. There are no coupons for 50% off for revival. To have revival, it's going to cost you some time and prayer. It's going to cost you some time in your Bible. It's going to cost you some time from whatever it is you're spending your time on and giving up some of that time and spending some time with God and pleading with Him. Would you Please revive us again that we might rejoice in thee. We got town meeting to be coming up Sunday, and people are going to be driving. You know, Brother Mike Taylor has come for years to our revival, but he has not been here in quite a few years. And I got a text from him this week, and he said, "Is it all right if I come to the camp meeting and bring some of my family?" And I texted him back and said, "Sure, we'll be glad to have you. We've been missing you." And he said, "I need 4 motel rooms." I guess he is praying his family. Amen. Evidently, he's bringing his kids' families.
Amen.
And for the last year and a half, Brother Mike Taylor has been rehabbing from a major stroke. So he also requested a first floor motel room that's a handicap room, because he still struggles just walking in the door, sitting down, getting up when it's over, and walking out. So why is he going to drive from Jacksonville, Florida, to Houston, Texas, bring as many of his family as he can, when he struggles just to get to his own church and back to the car and back home?
Yes.
Why is he going to do that? He wants to be revived.
Yes.
Now, I'm telling you that for a couple of reasons. One, pray for Brother Mike Taylor, because it's been a rough year and a half. But also, pray for everybody that's coming in. You won't know everybody else's story. But many of them will have a story. We just won't know what it is.
Yeah.
And for sure, when you see Brother Mike Taylor, think about all the years that he was such a great blessing, you know, about to dump the pulpit off the floor, rocking it back and forth, water sliding everywhere, tears running down his face, preaching with the power of God. Just remember this, he's had a rough year and a half. Make it a point to go up to him and tell him, "We're glad you're here. It's so good to see you. We missed you. We're glad you made the drive."
Man.
Hope you have a good week. And pray for him while he's here that God will do something special for him. I'm talking about the road to revival is not cheap.
Man.
A man that will pay that kind of price to come to our camp meeting wants something from God. We need to pray that he's not disappointed. Brother Leo Smith, I'll pick him up at the airport tomorrow afternoon. Flying in from Australia. He comes just about every year. Why would he take time off from his job? He's not like these preachers that come in that are full-time ministry. He works a job. He's a boilermaker, whatever that is. In my mind, I got a picture of some guy with a stove boiling water. I know that's not what he does. I'll pick him up at the airport tomorrow. He likes to come the week before the meeting. Kind of like those settlers. He likes to come the week before the meeting and just ride around with me and do whatever it is I'm doing. Of course, I'll be going to my shop some, and I'll say, "While you're here, why don't you straighten up this area?" Brother Neil is very good at that. He's very talented at just taking all this stuff down, putting it back in, straightening it up, making it look better, getting stuff up out of the floor, getting back on the shelves. You know how people are nowadays. They can drag it off, but they can't put it back. like your grandkids with the toys.
Yeah.
Or your kids. They can get them out of the box, but they can't put them back in the box. Well, that's the way shoppers are nowadays. Because
yep.
You see, they think when you close, the night shift comes in and straightens everything. I am the night shift and the day shift. And the overtime shift. That's me. And if you have 500 people come to there and drag something off the shelf, it's going to take me 500 times as long to put it all back. Brother Neil, he'll come in, he'll have to straighten all that up. Why is he going to come, buy his own plane ticket, fly to Houston, Texas, spend a week fellowshipping, spend the next week in the camp meeting? I tell you why. He wants to get revived.
Amen.
You know what? If you don't get revived, it's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just so busy, and therein lies the problem. We're all too busy. We don't have time to get revived because we've got too many things going on. If there's any way you can, you need to be in every camp meeting service you can. The more services you attend, the better shots you got to get in revival. It'll cost you. It's not on the bargain table. Salvation is free. Revival's not. It's going to cost you something. Do you even want to be revived? Or have you settled into this perilous times rut that people get in? What are the results if we do see revival? It's basic. Sinners get saved from a life of sin. Their sins will be washed away in the blood of the Lamb of God. They'll be forgiven. The burden will be lifted. Their heart will be singing. They'll have peace, joy unspeakable, full of glory. They'll be glad for what God's done for them.
Yeah.
Sinners will get saved. Souls will get stirred up. People that came in spiritually dragging will leave, hopping and skipping and rejoicing at what God has done for them. And the more tired the flesh gets, the more revived the spirit gets. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Man.
That's why you have two services a day, fellowship till midnight, or two in the morning. If you're at the Greens, four in the morning.
Yeah.
Souls will get stirred. I'll like it when people come in. And on Monday night, you can feel the electricity in the air. You know
yes.
Something about that. I love it. The kids will be cranked up and ready. First note, first song. Amen. They'll be lined up waiting for somebody to say go. If nobody says go, we'll slow them down. They'll go anyway. Amen. Brother Steve Brown, Lord willing, he'll be here. We got the cameras set up now. He's going to try to get everything rolling. Teach our guys how all that stuff works. What a miracle. What a blessing that Brother Steve Brown has just given us between $80,000 and $100,000 worth of.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'll be honest with you. Somebody said, give us $90,000 and we'll fix you all up. Forget it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been interested at all. But there's something about free. Did you hear melody in that word? I'm totally interested in the word free. Let Brother Brown know.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yes, sir.
That we appreciate and remember the Shady Acres Baptist Church. I said, why are you going to give all this book to us? He said, because y'all's church was always the favorite church that we went to stream those services. We enjoyed it more at Shady Acres than anywhere else we went in the country.
Man.
And he said, I have kind of a selfish motive for what I did. We want to get you to stream your services so that no matter where we are, we can log on and see what's going on in Shady Acres.
Amen.
The results are people get served. In my travels, I have people everywhere I go say, now, are y'all thinking about maybe streaming your services at the camp meeting and the mission conferences again? We used to always watch that, and we really miss that. Yeah, we're working on it. Well, let us know when you get it going. So, Sister Marcia, help me remember, if they get it going, we need to call Victor Baptist Press. Let them send an email out. We're back live.
Man.
Go to SteveBrownMinistries.com. People get stirred when there's revival. Tears are open when there's real revival. Because when the heart gets squeezed, the juice comes out your eyeballs.
Yeah.
When people get revived, they're not ashamed to lift their hands and praise the Lord and give glory to God and smile while they do it.
Amen.
We need revival. Would you pray with me for the next week? Ask God to meet with us.
Amen.
Do exactly what we need in every heart, in every home, every child, every parent, everybody. Even, would you pray that God shows up so real that people that are not even here get a blessing? I'm thinking about Miss Joe Chess. I'm thinking about Miss Lila Prince. More than likely they won't be able to attend. But I'd like for it to get so good that they at least hear about it. Somebody go over to visit them and say, oh, let me tell you what God's doing over. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh, it's perilous times. People are lovers of themselves and boasters and proud. And oh, how we need God to meet with us and stir our hearts and revive us. Would you stand and bow your heads? Father, I pray you help us to know. We dedicate our hearts, consecrate our hearts to real old time. Revival. Our nation needs revival. Our city needs revival. Our church needs revival. Our homes need revival. Lord, I pray you revive us again. In Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?